Today, I'm going to get in the Word and share some things and get you on out of here, okay? That's my goal anyway. We might stay till 2 o'clock. Is that all right, David? Yeah, okay. Just kidding.
He'll leave.
Okay, thanks for your support. Amen. Praise God. But today, I want to share with you about why Jesus came and just share some things on my heart about that because I think it's good to hear these things. Amen. This is the good time of year to talk about it. And it's the last Sunday of the year. You can believe that? 2026 coming up, what, Thursday? Yeah. And, I think it's good to know who you are and what you have. And this is one of those messages when you understand this, it really changes the big picture. Especially that whole thing about you never die. Amen. You need to get a revelation of that. Nobody ever dies when they ask Jesus into their heart. They just have a wardrobe change. Amen. They're no longer in your past, but they're in your future. And if you obsess over it, you don't get it. But see, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he placed his resurrection power in you when you asked him into your heart. And you got that same thing going on now. You never die. Whew. You get a hold of that. It changes how you see in heaven's door, how close it is. You know, heaven's all around you right now. Did you know that? Amen. NASA even talks about when you speed things up, you see things you didn't know were there. We need to realize why Jesus came, because it changes everything. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, you ready? Pray with me right now. Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart and I open my ears and I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My heart is open, my ears are open, and I'm ready to receive exactly what you have for me right now in Jesus' name. Now, Father God, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, ministering to us right where we are. Lord, we just give you praise and we give you glory right now. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. Jesus, we thank you for coming to this earth, dying for us, being raised from the dead so that we can live forever. And we just thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, everybody shouted, amen. Give your neighbor a high five and you can be seated. Hallelujah. It's nice having the boys in. William's been here. Andrew and Gabrielle have been here. They're driving out this morning. They were going to drive out yesterday, but they weren't feeling well, so they stayed in bed, laid before the Lord. Amen. So, we've had a great time. It's been good. Why did Jesus come? That's what I want to share with you today. And I'd like to show you two scriptures to start off with. The first one's in John chapter 3 and verse 16. We all know this verse. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have what? Eternal life." Say that one more time. I have eternal life because of Jesus. Boy, think about it. I say it again. I have eternal life because of Jesus. Amen. And then in Isaiah, we know these verses. I like reading them at Christmas time more than ever before because they mean a whole lot when you stop and you examine every word. I encourage you to get a hold of Rick Renner's teaching on this. But in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, it says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity." This, the passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. And we know because of what we celebrate every year that it did happen. Jesus truly is the Savior of the world. Amen? He is the Savior of the world. In fact, when we are celebrating His birth, it's really a great time just to rejoice and be glad and be thankful for all that He's done for us. To remember the great love that he showed us in dying for us, being raised from the dead for us. Not only that, but the great peace that He has placed within you. A lot of people think their peace is something that has to be tangible. I don't feel it. But really, He placed within you His supernatural peace. You have that. A lot of times we don't focus. We focus on the armor of the flesh or what our mind is telling us. We place the flesh above His Word. And we can't do that because He has given you His peace. Amen. He even said, and we read in Scriptures, this peace is not like the world gives. That's how it reads in John. My peace is not like the world gives. His peace is everlasting. Amen. He's the Prince of Peace who's alive in you and alive in me. Oh, that's so good. He's alive in me and alive in you. He is your joy. He is compassion on the inside of you because of His presence. You know, really, when you stop and think of it, the reality is Christmas is not just a symbolic time that we celebrate the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. We know that Jesus, honestly, folks, Jesus was not born on December the 25th. Everybody knows that, don't you? I mean, He wasn't. A lot of people have different theories. There's some that talk about August, September, some talk about other months. But really, that doesn't matter. We've chosen December 25th to be the time that we celebrate Him. We celebrate His birth. We declare the victory that was given. A baby was born, but the baby's coming back to reign as king. Amen. Amen. He's not some weak person. He is God, and He's coming back to reign as king. You know, I read a report the other day, the president of Iran, I mean, he's been beaten into submission. That's what's going on with Hamas and all that. But the president of Iran made a statement this past week. He says, our enemies are the United States of America, Israel, and anyone who calls themselves an ally. They are at war with us, and we are at war with them. Pure hatred. But hey, Jesus is King of Kings. Amen. And boy, when He comes back, they're all going to bow to Him. Amen. Amen? That's why we don't worry, we don't fret. You know, God's good. We celebrate, though, on December the 25th as an annual time to celebrate that Jesus came into this world. And you know, as a Christian, how many of you are Christian? That's not just a statement of fact. How many of you are born again Christians? Well, see, that means you've got resurrection power on the inside. We know that Jesus, according to Mark 1 and verse 1, Jesus is the Son of God. Mark chapter 1, verse 1, Jesus is the Son of God. We know that God loved mankind so much, like we read just a moment ago, that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to this earth in John 3:16. Yet, there are still many people who don't know these truths, and they wonder why God even sent Jesus. What does it all mean? Well, what was the purpose of His birth? Well, the Bible gives a lot of clear answers about that, and I want to give you seven of them this morning real quick. Seven reasons why Jesus came to this earth, all right? And you need to write them down. But let's talk about the first one. And each one of these are grounded in Scripture. This is what we believe. Everybody say, this is what we believe. Come on, say it again. This is what I believe. And I want you to get this. This is important. This is what I believe. The Scripture says this. I believe it. If I believe it, I have it. Am I right? Do you have it? Yes. Well, first one is this. Number one, Jesus was born to redeem us from the curse of the law of sin and death. Jesus was born to redeem you, to redeem me from the curse of the law of sin and death. You know, Jesus came to break the curse of sin. He came and broke death. Amen. That's why Paul declared, oh, death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? You're nothing now because of what Christ Jesus did. Amen. Death is nothing. Again, it's just a wardrobe change. Amen. One day I'll take this coat off. It's got Elvis on the inside of it, but I'll take this coat off. Thank you, Chris. Amen. I'll take this coat off of my wife, too. We went downtown. I bought new clothes. It was fun. Amen. But you know what? One day I'm going to take this coat of clothes off. And I'm going to step into what's immortal and eternal. And so will you. If you have loved ones that have gone before you, they're not dead. Are you listening to me? Their body may be dead in the ground or in ashes, but they're not dead. Their spirit is alive before God. That's why I always like to tell people, you know, they're no longer in your past, but they're in your future. Because you're going to see them again. You're going to laugh again. You're going to rejoice again. Amen. You know, one of those things I told you about, I believe that night my blood sugar got so low that I felt myself come out of my body. Everything tingled like, you know, when your arm goes to sleep or something. My whole body was that way, tingling all over. It started at the bottom of my feet and worked its way all the way up to my chest. And I felt myself slide out of my mouth. That's what it felt like. Like pulling your hand out of a long glove. And you know, I could see a street. I could see buildings. I saw people with big ears coming down the street. Family. That's my point there. But then all of a sudden they stopped. S-T-O-P, stopped moving towards me. And Jesus walked up. They stopped and looked at him. And he came up to me and tilted his head and smiled, not yet. And I went back in my body the same way I came out. I was hollering, I'm ready, I'm ready. But no. Listen, we put too much cost and emphasis on things that don't belong to us when eternal things should matter more to you. Because that's what's important. Amen. See, Jesus came to redeem you and me from that curse of the law. He came to break the curse of sin and to break the curse of death that was bound to humanity. His birth was the beginning of God's plan to purchase your freedom and bring us into His family. By one man's offense, death reigned. But by what Jesus did for you, He broke the sin, the curse of sin and the curse of death. Amen. Again, Paul said, death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? It does not exist in my life. Amen. The scripture says that Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. You're supposed to be zealous for good works in him. Amen. I was with somebody the other day. We went out and got some coffee and just hung out together. And we're just talking about this one point right here, how important it is that we're zealous for God. And I was telling them a story Brother Hagin always talked about, and I just want to relate this to you about anything. You know, if it does not bring glory to God, don't do it. The Bible says whatever you do in word or deed, you do it all unto Him and His glory. Amen. So whatever it is you're doing, watching, listening to, if it doesn't glorify God, you might want to back up a minute because you really need to be glorifying God right now. You're supposed to be zealous for Him. You're supposed to be zealous for Him. He gave himself so that He could redeem you and redeem me from every lawless deed and purify you for Himself, His own special people. Why? So you could be zealous for His good works. The good things you're supposed to reach for. Amen. Supposed to be heaven-minded. Supposed to be, not supposed to be no earthly good. I'm supposed to be heavenly-minded. Amen. focused right. And then Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5, and this is parts of it here, but God sent forth his Son to do what? To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. You're a son and daughter of God. You've been adopted because of the blood that was shed for you and the blood that was shed for me. Can you say amen? Amen. And number two today. Number two, Jesus was born to restore authority to its rightful place. He was born to restore authority to its rightful place. Amen. He gave authority to you through his name. You know, Adam's fall, authority was lost to the enemy. In Adam's fall, authority was lost to the enemy. But Jesus came to restore authority, to restore law and order on a spiritual level, reclaiming dominion and giving it back to his people. Jesus did that so you could have authority, so that you could speak his name, so that you can change the course of events, so that you can speak to the mountain and command it to move. Amen. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. He did that for you. He gave authority and dominion to you, the body of Christ, giving it back to his people. His birth marked the arrival of the one who would reestablish God's kingdom rule and kingdom order. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verses 18 through 20, he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Matthew's quoting it a different way, but he's saying, go be zealous for me. Go do my bidding. Even Paul talked about how you're an ambassador for him. You are an ambassador. You're a representative of the kingdom. You got a job to do. You have a purpose in life. Jesus came so that you could have divine purpose. Amen. He came to restore authority to its rightful place so that you can have reconcile man back to who? God. He was born so that you could be reconciled back to God. You know, what separated you from God? Somebody shout it out. Sin. Everybody say sin. Sin separated you. Our pulpit's still got wheels on it. Thank you, Bob Oliver. I'm going to mess it up, Matthew. You might have to come back and help me put it back. But everywhere I go, there was a wall of separation of sin. Kept me from God. I couldn't get to him. Oops, it ain't moving. Oh. Wall of separation. But guess what happened? Jesus came. Jesus came. And where there's a gulf, Jesus became the bridge. And because of his blood and his life, I can walk across the bridge and I can get to God. He can get to me. I can worship him. I can adore him because he's God. And I have a bridge builder who changed everything. I want to flip it down to the floor. Does it go? It does go over that, doesn't it? Am I centered? I'm close. Oh! Things heavier than it looks. But praise God, I'm a mighty man. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, sin separated you from God. Jesus was the bridge builder. Jesus bridged the gap. He brought reconciliation and he brought peace. His birth was heaven's declaration that the wall of separation would be torn down. When he died, the wall of separation was the curtain. That curtain was torn from top to bottom in the temple. Can you imagine what the high priest thought that night? Or that afternoon that morning when he was raised from the dead. Or when he died. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But when he died, you know, that curtain was torn from top to bottom because God don't live in a box anymore. He lives in you. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separations, Ephesians 2, verses 14 through 18. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21, God has what? Reconciled you and me to himself through Jesus. He paid the price. Jesus came so that he was born to die. He was born to die so that we could be reconciled back to God, made right. Amen. And then number four, Jesus came because he was born to destroy the works of the devil. Everybody say the works of the devil. You know, the devil ran roughshod over everyone in the world when Adam fell. Authority, he was the one that took the authority from Adam. They were deceived. They gave it up. Jesus came as a light into the darkness. His birth was the beginning of the end for Satan's power. Jesus destroyed him. Every healing, every deliverance, and ultimately the cross itself was proof that the devil's works were being undone one by one. Jesus went and took all the keys back. He took the keys back. He took those keys. The keys of authority, the keys of victory. And he turned and he gave those back to you, the church, the body of Christ. He destroyed the works of the devil. We read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." I think there was an old charismatic two-step song about that one scripture right there. To destroy the works of the evil one. Jesus did that. He destroyed the works of the evil one. How many of you are thankful for that? Yeah. Amen. You know, if you've got a mean dog in your yard, you might as well put your foot down and yell at that dog, "Get out of here!" That's the authority you got. You can tell the devil, tell your trouble, tell him problems, sickness, disease, whatever, "Get!" in Jesus' name. He was born to destroy the works of the devil, and he gave you the same power through his name. Amen? Amen. All right, number five. He was born to make a way for everlasting life. I love this one more than any. Tony Brown picked that song out years ago. He was the one that wanted us to do that song. There was a time, Tony played drums for us for a long, long, long time. Tony used to play for B.B. King and a bunch of other artists. And he really loved God. He was a cocaine head. I don't think a lot of people knew that. He was messed up at one time pretty bad. But man, nobody could play like Tony Brown. Isn't that right? Amen. Well, he was good. Played left-handed. Those are the best drummers that play left-handed. Amen. They can hit that snare hard. Feels good. Cuts through your flesh. Amen. You feel the power when that snare drum's hitting. My boss that I traveled with for a long time, he wanted to have two JBL line arrays directly behind him on the stage. We had to set them up. Those are high-end speakers. And Phil had all his tracks remastered so that when the snare drum hit, he had a Linn drum machine hit that snare drum on the SMPTE time code. So when he was live in concert, that snare drum cracked behind him like lightning. It was loud, and it hit. But there was something about feeling the music at the moment, especially when I Exalt Thee came on, and he closed out the night with that, because that was powerful. He did God of Holy, Holy Lord, God of Power and Might, and then he'd go right into I Exalt Thee, and that snare drum would cut a hole through your heart. It was loud. It clicked. One time he wanted somebody to travel on the road just to play bass, kick, and drums so he could have that snare drum as loud as it could be right behind him. That's how he was. Always that way. But you got to understand, Jesus was born so that you could have everlasting life. Because of what he did for you, like that snare drum that cuts through everything. Oh my goodness. Jesus cut through everything with that one act of love for you. He was born to make a way for your everlasting life. I was thinking about this the other day when I was putting this together for this morning. And I know when my father passed away, we sat and talked. Everybody left the room. It was just me and him. Matthew went in and talked to him. David went in and talked to him. My aunt was very close to her, and my dad were very close. But Dad asked me some specific questions, and I told him that story I just told you again today about seeing Jesus. And one of the things he asked, he says, how will I know when it's time? And I told him that story. I said, oh, you'll know. When he was in Alaska, he went up to work for the Axe television network. They put a television station in Fairbanks, in Anchorage. And he had to put this tower, this TV tower, on top of a building there in Anchorage. And they had, Ron Cassidy had to hire a helicopter to do all this. And you heard this story? Yeah. You have to help me if I'm telling it wrong. But Ron Cassidy wanted my dad to hang on a cable line, right? Off a helicopter. On the roof, but he was on a line, I thought. Yeah, a tag line. Well, if you know about electricity, sometimes those towers can get statically charged. And his line and the tower got statically charged. They saw a spark of light, and all of a sudden my dad was limp in a harness dangling in the air. It knocked him out. And I related that story back to him when we were talking that day. I said, you remember what happened when the static charge hit you? He goes, oh, yeah, I don't want to do that again. And I said, you know, when it's time, it's going to be like that, but you're going to feel it all over, and you're just going to come right out of your body, and you'll know it. And he had a big smile on his face because he told me, he says, well, I've been seeing things lately. I can see things around me, but they're shadowy. I said, well, that's the veil that the Bible talks about. There's a veil that kind of shadows things. Chad Gonzalez, y'all remember Chad? Chad told the story about seeing his wife trying to push through and touch him one more time through that veil. He thought it was a dream, but he was having a daytime vision. But she pulled back, and she waved bye and walked off. You got to understand, Jesus was born so that you could have everlasting life. This life that we live, it's temporary on this earth, but your eternal life is forever. That's why there should be no fear in death. That's why there should be no concern. I mean, we miss people, but you know, on the inside, I'm going to see them again. And boy, we're going to have a good time talking about stuff. Jesus died so that you could be born again and have eternal, everlasting life. 1 John 5:11 says God has given us eternal life. And this life is where? In His Son. Where is the Son at right now when it comes to you and me? Where is He? Inside of you and me. God has given us eternal life. The life of His Son is in me. And then the next verse in 5:12 says, He who has the Son has what? Life. That word life there is talking about eternal life. Eternal life that never, ever, ever ends. Forever. Life everlasting. Amen. Going back to that song, Tony picked that song out. And I had a vision, you know, when he died, I felt bad about it. Because he got sick with COVID, and he had a lot of wrong thinking that was going on. And he carried it for a while. And it really messed with him. And his blood pressure, his diabetes, he had some other things with dementia happening. And it just wasn't fun. You ever been around people like that? And they're not fun. They're grumpy. They lose it. And But he's the one that picked that song out. And I thought about it today because I remember he came up and I saw heaven with him. And he came up in this field of flowers. He says, hey, man, I just want you to know I love you and I'm okay. And he pulled his sticks out of his pocket. He says, I got to go play. He said, don't worry about anything. I'll see you soon. And he went running off down this path. Listen, there's things about heaven you got to understand. It's closer than you think. The reality of it is closer than you think. Everlasting life is closer than you think. That's why Hebrews talks about a great cloud of witnesses that's all around you. It's not some grandstand in the sky. They are all around you right now, cheering you on. Again, if things sped up enough, you would see everything as God sees it. Because the speed of light's where He exists. Think about it. Might send you into brain lock for a minute, but you know, God's close to you all the time. That's why they wrote in the scriptures, sometimes people entertain angels unaware because they are that close. Bert and Ernie's that close to me. So was it Roger Blair used to talk about that? My angels are Bert and Ernie. He's the one that was saying, I can go into the Holy of Holies. That was fun. Amen. Folks, catch it here. God has given you eternal life. It's not in the sweet by and by. It's here and now. You live different when you realize it's here and now. Your eyes will be on the Word more when you realize it's here and now. Again, godliness is profitable in this life and in the life that's yet to come. We got to grasp this stuff. Eternity's already here. Amen. Y'all here? All right. Where are we at? Number 6. I keep going on that one. That's a good one. Oh, Tony, in that song. He loved this song because of that one line. And I understand now more than ever before. That's why I said this song is for him. But where's the line at? Born that none may die. See the saving one. Born that none may die. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Glory to God. Let the praises rise. Lift up your eyes. Jesus, the saving one, was born so that none will ever die. Amen. That's why we call him Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Lord of Hosts. And he is the hope for you and me. Amen. My eternal hope is found in him. Hallelujah. All right, where are we at? Number 6. He was born because of love. You know, I talk about love a lot. Sally and I were talking a while back, and we were sharing about love. She goes, I love it when you have something else to talk about love. And I know I might repeat things a lot, but you know, your faith works by love. It's important. You want your mountain to move? You better walk in love. You're supposed to forgive when you're speaking to your mountain. Didn't Jesus say that? It's important. Love works. Everybody say love works. But you got to understand, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Why? He loved you so much. Jesus was born because of God's love for you. That's why love should be a paramount functioning part of your Christian walk at all times. Because it matters how you respond to the things of God and how you look through the eyes of the Father's love. Amen. Love is the foundation of everything that was ever made. Jesus was born because God loved us too much to leave us like we were. His birth was the ultimate expression of God's divine love for you and his divine love for me. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So important that we realize our Christmas day should be the Christmas life every day because of the love that's been shed abroad in our hearts. We have a lot to be grateful for. Which brings me to the last point today. Jesus was born to fulfill prophecy and to fulfill his Father's promises. He was born to fulfill prophecy and to fulfill God's promises. Amen. You know, from Genesis to Malachi, the prophets spoke of the coming Messiah. I read to you on the Christmas Eve service. Those of you that were here, wasn't that a special service? That was really sweet that night. But you know, I read this, and there's 66 books in the Bible, but there's always been one name throughout all the books. And I read some of these. This is not all of them. But in the book of Genesis, Jesus was the seed of the woman. In Exodus, Jesus was the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, Jesus was the atoning sacrifice. In Ruth, the kinsman redeemer. In Psalms, he's the praise of his people. In Isaiah, he's known as the suffering servant because he died for you and me. Isaiah prophesied his death. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the fiery furnace. In Jonah, he's the resurrected one. In Matthew, we read that he's the promised Messiah. In John, the Son of God who is also God. In Hebrews, he is our great and high priest. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is the King of Kings and what? The Lord of Lords. In Matthew 1:21, we are told, you call his name what? Jesus. Everybody say his name. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. From Genesis to Malachi, they prophesied about him. His birth fulfilled centuries of prophecies, proving that God keeps his promises. In fact, upon Jesus' arrival, it wasn't just random like some airplane landing and everybody meeting him at the gate and everybody said, hey, Jesus, how you doing? No, it wasn't like that. Boy, it was some kind of spectacular moment. Angels shouted about it. They came and announced it to the shepherds. They came and announced it. They spoke to wise men. We don't know how many years later before they got to Jesus. We were joking about that the other day. But what was that one guy, one preacher said? They came an hour after he was born. Every play, every 5 minutes after every Christmas play, they always come 5 minutes after he was born. But the Bible is real clear. The wise men came a couple years later. And not only that, what they gave him was so expensive. The family had their family cousin or whatever was Joseph of Arimathea. He was an investment banker. He took all those gifts and he invested it. That's how they had the money to get away from the babies being killed. Amen. Historical fact. Not only that, Jesus' family was wealthy because of what the wise men did. They weren't poor. I've never seen a poor carpenter. If they don't manage their money right, they're a bad carpenter, but I've never met one that wasn't good at it. The guy that built this pulpit was not poor. He could build stuff out of mahogany, blow your mind. Catholic Church hired him to build all sorts of mahogany stuff in Chattanooga. Listen to what I'm saying here. He wasn't poor. He came to fulfill prophecy. In fact, you know, you understand now why there was such a nice tomb for Jesus to be laid in. Go study about all that money situation. It's something else. He died so that he could break the curse of poverty off of your life. I said he died so that you could have the curse of poverty broken off of your life. Amen. He was born to fulfill prophecy. You know, not only that, but God constantly keeps his promises. His arrival was not random. It was at an appointed time in God's eternal plan. And you understand that? He did make a way in a manger just for you. Amen. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, but when the fullness of time had come, God did what? He sent forth His Son. And then we read in Isaiah 7:14 and Matthew 1, chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." Which means what? God with us. God not only with us, but God in us. Changes your perspective. Amen. Changes your perspective. And I want to leave you with this, and we're going to pray. And it's in your handout. I'll put it at the bottom. But you know, Jesus did not come into a world to condemn this world. John chapter 3 and verse 17 says, but He came to save it. He was on a rescue mission, like that good Navy chaplain said. He didn't come into this world to condemn it, but He came to save it. And because He loves you so much, you know what? He's coming back again. He told us He would in John 14. And Paul wrote about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He's coming back. Folks, that's something worth celebrating, not just at Christmas time, but that's something you should celebrate every day of the year. And that's why I always tell you, you know, I don't live for a Christmas day. Every day I live a Christmas life. Surrounded by gifts, people, and presents just like you. What we have is a special gift. Life in Christ. Abiding in the vine. And when you get a hold of that, you realize how important your family, your friends are. How important people you fellowship with at church is. Because all of this is linked to the eternal destiny that we all have together forever. Amen. We're all going to see each other again and again. Won't that be fun? Mm-hmm. Going to see my dad again. Going to see my mom again. Going to see my grandfathers again. Going to see people again. All because of what Jesus did. If you ask Him into your heart, it changes everything in the big picture. Folks, let's live a Christmas life every day. Amen. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You right now for Your word today. We're so grateful that You came. So grateful that You not only came, but You died for us to redeem us, to deliver us. Lord, You came to destroy the works of the devil. You were born to make a way for everlasting life. You were born because You loved us. You were born to fulfill prophecy and to fulfill the Father's promises. But Lord, You also were born to redeem us, to break the curse of the law, and the law of sin and death. You came, Lord, You were born to restore authority to its rightful place. You gave it to us to walk in the authority of the believer. But Lord, You were born to reconcile us back to You, back to God. You are that bridge builder that gave us a way to step into eternal glory with You, serving You forever, honoring You while we're here, serving You forever. Lord, right now I thank You that each one of us realize the importance of living a Christmas life. If you're watching online today, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or maybe you're not living for God like you should. If you're here today and you're not saved and you want to be saved, if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? Could you say yes or no? Boy, the last Sunday of 2025 is a good time to ask Jesus into your heart. If you're here, if you're watching online, I'll tell you, we're going to make it real easy for you. All you got to do is pray the prayer that I'm going to lead you in. And we'll all pray with you. And you can know that you know that you know that you're right with God. We've all messed up. We've all made mistakes. But the Lord, He loves you so much, He's faithful to forgive you of all unrighteousness. He died so that you could be made right. So with your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're watching online or if you're here today, we're all going to pray. Church, pray with me. And if this is you, if you're watching, if you're here, pray it out in faith. Everyone pray with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you and I believe that you sent your only Son, Jesus, to live, to walk on this earth, but to also bleed and die for me. Father, I ask you, forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me of all unrighteousness. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me brand new. From this day forward, I will live all of my days for you until I see you face to face. Thank you for saving me. Thank you that I am now born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hey, you know what? If you prayed that prayer, you just made the best decision of your life. Amen. And what we'd like to do is send you a book, send you a Bible, send you two books. If you've prayed that prayer, come see me after church. Or if you're watching online, send an email to that address and your address, and we'll send some things to you. Amen. How many of you know it's good to be saved? Amen. Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we're going to tell you goodbye one last time. Because the year's over with this week. But praise God, I'll get to see you next year. Amen. That's the best part. Amen. Get to see you again. So we want to wish you a very, very, very happy new year. Remember First Fruit Sunday, where we do a special offering, how we start the year is how we're going to end the year, okay? And that will be the second Sunday of January. So remember that. And hey, we love you. If there's anything we can pray with you about, please come up. We'll be glad to pray with you before you go. But have a happy new year, and we will see you next Sunday. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Awesome. That's good.